spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, And Two Walked Backwards, was written by Marion Voigt and comes to you from Chicago.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and it repented the Lord that he had made man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation.
Perfect?
No, it is not so. A man may strive for righteousness all the days of his life, but perfection is not in him. Man is a small thing, and the consequence of all his acts is beyond him. Only the Lord knows the future, even as the past.
But Noah walked with God. And it came to pass that God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth.
They are mighty men, O Lord, giants in the earth, and men of renown. In their might and power, they forget there is one who is mightier, and they hear not my words.
And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth.
Destroy them?
Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven.
A flood of waters?
But make thee an ark of gopher wood, and with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with them.
Me and mine? Out of all the world thou wouldst save? We alone of all the world?
And God said, Do thou according to what I command you. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And so it came to pass that Noah returned to his home and called his family about him, his wife Nama, his three sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And he told them what the Lord had said. And they looked at him in wonder and dread. Nama, the gentle and pious.
Even the babies, my husband, even the little ones, the Lord destroys them too.
Every creature under heaven will I destroy. So spoke the Lord.
And Noah looked not to right nor left, but stared into the emptiness of the sky. And Shem, the oldest son, the dutiful, the industrious, spoke in wonder.
Save only us. He spares us from his wrath.
Yes, he spares us. And two of every beast and fowl, cattle and creeping thing, these also will he have us taken to the ark with us to keep them alive.
And Japheth, the youngest son, who loved movement and music and laughter, looked off toward the doomed cities, and his voice was stricken.
The Lord our God is mighty and terrible in his wrath.
He is terrible in his wrath.
But Ham, the second son, bowed not his head, and his voice was pleased.
The Lord is just. I wonder only that he has been patient so long with the corruption of men. I've seen them in their cities. I've watched them, covetous and carnal in all their ways. They deserve destruction.
Then at last did Noah turn his gaze from the sky.
No, Ham, no. Speak not so. Are they not his creatures, even as we?
Yet often and often have you said it, my father. Fear the Lord your God. But now, when it comes to the proof, you yourself shrink.
Ham, it is to our father you speak.
But it is true. Look, he who taught us the fear of the Lord is pale now and wrings his hands. He who first told us the men of the world were sinners bends backward, lamenting their punishment.
Enough, Ham, enough.
Are you mad, brother?
Enough, all of you. Ham, you will say no more. If you alone are never conscious of sin, then rejoice at the punishment of sinners and mock at your father. But know this, my son, only the Lord is set apart above mankind. Set yourself apart and you are less than human. It cannot be else. I warn you, Ham. But now we have work, hard work, long work, to build the ark as the Lord commanded.
And so did Noah and his sons build the ark. And at last, when the ark was almost completed, there was the sound of the rushing of wings.
Birds. Whole flocks of them, darkening the sky. And they settled to rest on every branch and shrub and rock before the entrance to the ark.
There was the sound of thudding hooves, light hooves, heavy hooves. And the thunder, faint at first, grew louder and louder.
The beasts come. The oxen, the asses, the wild beasts as well. Elephants, camels, giraffes, lions and tigers.
Nama, have you and our sons' wives prepared all the bread, grain, and food in readiness?
Day and night we have kneaded and baked, my husband.
What was that? Wait! Was that the lion?
It sounded more like thunder.
Look! Over toward the horizon. The sky is darkening.
The Lord sends a warning. The rains come soon. Quickly, my sons. We must judge the animals, clean and unclean.
And again. It is true, then. There will be a flood.
My son, what are you saying? Did you doubt?
I know not.
Impious and faithless. There is no more time for reasoning and warning. May the flood itself wash away your pride. Now come, all of you. We must load the ark.
And it came to pass after 7 days, that same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth.
Even so has the Lord ordained. Mighty art thou, O Lord, my God. Now will the children of men see thy wrath was even as I foretold, mighty and terrible. O God, while yet the rain is only beginning, could I try once more? And if but one should repent, O Lord, would you show mercy?
No, Father, no. His will is mine. Come, let us enter the ark.
He repenteth not his judgment. We are to leave them all to their doom. Even so, O Lord, as you command.
In the selfsame day entered Noah and all his family into the ark. And now as the rain fell faster and faster and the waters increased, the ark went on the face of the waters. Now all the high hills were covered, where those who were fleetest and strongest had taken refuge. Now even the mountains were covered. Flesh died that moved upon the earth. And only the ark moved on the face of the waters. And only Noah remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark.
A 100 days. 101. Oh, I can bear it no longer. I go to my father and tell him he must speak.
No, Ham, no. Disturb not your father.
But only a moment ago you sent Nila to him.
I sent your wife to him with food, praying, hoping he will eat.
He will not. He will not eat nor speak nor do anything but grieve and mourn for a pack of sinners. Oh, it goes beyond reason. He grieves for them and forgets us.
No, Ham, no. Wait. Nila is returning. Did he eat of the food, my daughter?
Did he speak, Nila? Did he say anything? Give any word at all on when this rain will cease?
He would eat nothing, my mother. Oh, nor did he say anything that I could understand.
He thinks the Lord has forgotten us. That is why he stays below mourning. He's afraid to tell us we are doomed to this ark forever. The Lord has forgotten us.
But the Lord had not forgotten Noah. The waters prevailed upon the earth 140 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing in the ark. And God made a wind pass over the earth. And the waters assuaged.
Look, my brothers. It has stopped raining. Neela, mother, come and look. The rain has ceased.
Hold. Did you feel that shudder through the ark?
Could it be that we have struck some sort of land? The peak of a mountain, perhaps?
Yes. Only see. We are not moving. For the first time in many months, we are standing still on the waters.
And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountain of Ararat. And now indeed did Noah leave his solitude. And he went to the window of the ark and opened it. And he called for a raven, which he sent forth over the water, and also a dove, which finding no place to rest, returned to him. Yet another 7 days, and Noah again sent forth the dove from the ark. And this time, at evening...
Oh, the dove returns again.
Still no land.
Wait, this time she bears something in her mouth. Yes, let you land on my hand. So, little one, behold, it is an olive branch she has plucked and brought back to us. An olive branch.
And so Noah knew the waters were abated. But still he bided in the ark till he heard the voice of the Lord saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and every living thing that is with thee.
Land! Dry land at last! Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Beautiful earth. Lovely earth. Even listen. The animals rejoice.
Noah, my husband, only you do not leave the ark. Only you do not wear a look of rejoicing.
I would make a sacrifice unto the Lord. Shem, bring me clean beasts and clean fowls for a burnt offering.
Yes, my father. I will get them at once.
I have a prayer in my heart, my wife.
A prayer?
A prayer that was born as the screams of the dying rang in my ears. Oh, Nama, will that sound ever leave them as long as I live?
So Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done.
O Lord, thou hast looked into my heart and seen my prayer. Blessed be thy name forever, merciful even as thou art mighty. Lord God.
Look, above the altar, in an arch across the sky,
a shimmering bow of many colors.
And now indeed has our Father brought a blessing on all of us, that the Lord makes this covenant with him.
Yes, now indeed has my Father proved there can be none like him. None ever.
And then God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And Noah and his sons and their wives went forth from the ark and made for themselves homes and planted seed. And life began again on this earth. And Noah himself began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard.
Noah! Oh, there you are. Noah, my husband, what is it that you stand there by the vines and hear me not?
Oh, Nama,
Oh, Noah, come in for your meal now, my husband. All our sons will be there, and the little ones, too.
The little ones, too. Be fruitful, the Lord said, and even so all are fruitful, save I. I am old, troubled by yesterday's dying.
Ah, Noah.
Oh, go now. I will come soon, Mama.
I... Very well, my husband.
And still Noah stood, and though he felt thirst, he moved not towards the well. He saw the juice of last year's grapes in the vat, and taking a gourd, he drank of that juice, bitter as his memories.
Sour, sour and biting, but it brings a strange warmth to the heart.
He drank again, and the long memories began to waver and slip. And he drank again, and again, and forgetfulness came like a strange blessing.
It is like sleep, but not like sleep. What manner of spell is this? Good or evil? Evil? Evil surely to forget what is real.
But even so, he drank again, and Noah was drunk. He forgot now the sight of a world dying. He forgot he was old. He felt young and warm, and loosened his robe, and walked, staggering a little, toward the tent.
Nama, my little dove, my white one, where art thou? Nama, you bade me come and I come.
He groped in the dark of the tent, and then as a wave of dizziness reached for him, he sank to the ground.
Nama.
But Nama heard him not. It was only his second son, Ham, who was passing the tent, who heard that call and looked within.
Father? Father, why lie you thus, uncovered? He hears me not. He lies there in a stupor, reeking. Reeking of what? This is Noah, the pious. Noah, who walks with God. Oh, but they will never believe me. Never, unless... Shem! Japheth!
Ham, what is it?
Ham, Neil, only wait, wait! Shem, Japheth, sons of Noah!
What now, Ham?
For years, he's preached it. We're all sinners, all the while making sure he was not one himself. But now has the pious one stumbled.
What is it?
You call me Ham?
Japheth, I know not what he raves about. Make yourself clear, Ham.
It is our father. He lies uncovered in his tent in a drunken stupor.
Our father?
A stupor?
Yes, our father. Yours and mine. Noah the pious.
If this be true, he has need of us. Come.
All right. Go see for yourself. It is true as I say.
See. We go not to see Jackal. We go as his sons.
But outside their father's tent, Shem stopped Japheth, and he took his cloak from his shoulders and said,
"Let us take this cloak, my brother, and lay it across our shoulders, and enter the tent backwards."
Backwards?
All men can fall into shame, Japheth, even our father. But none but Ham could wish to look on another's fall. So the cloak across your shoulders. Now mine. Come.
And Shem and Japheth went backwards into the tent and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father. And they left the tent and spoke no word to him. And the hours of Noah's stupor went by, and he woke.
The grape? I drank of the grape. And at first, I forgot all sorrow. And then... Oh, my God, now have I dishonored myself before thee. How have I mocked thee? A man created in thy image, and I have capered and staggered like a beast, making mark of thy spirit within man that sets him apart from the beast. Oh, what... A shame is like a knife in my heart.
And then Noah saw the cloak laid over him, not his own, and he rose. And he put his own cloak about him and left the tent. And a little way from the tent, he saw Nilah, Ham's wife, with her child Canaan in her arms.
Nilah, my daughter, who came into the tent as I lay there sleeping?
Who came in, my father?
Someone came in and covered me against the cold, I would know who.
It was Shem and Japheth covered you, my father, putting a cloak around their shoulders and walking backwards. Oh, shh, little one.
Walking backwards?
It was funny to see them bending backwards so solemnly so as not to see.
So as not to see? How did they know there was aught that should not be seen?
Ham had told them, my father. He had gone in and seen you and come forth laughing.
As you laugh now?
Do not be angry, my father. It was only a joke. To see even you can err.
A joke? It is but a joke. It is a cause for joy when all the world is punished. A cause for laughter when one's father shames himself before God. And he has infected you, so you feel so too. And the child in your arms is well. Even a little Canaan laughs. Call Ham to me. Ham and Shem and Japheth too.
And his sons came before him, Shem and Japheth, their eyes downcast. And Ham, who smiled knowingly with secret satisfaction.
You smile, Ham. You think perhaps I will spare you now to keep my own shame a secret. But rather would I have my own drunkenness known to all of time than that you and yours should go on feeding and growing fat on the errors of others forever. Let my shame be the one that brings the curse upon you, Ham. Better that it be mine than another's.
The curse? What curse can fall against me?
Long ago I told you, Ham, only the Lord is set apart above humankind. Set yourself apart and you will be less than human. Servant, then, a servant to your brothers shall you be from now on.
A servant to Shem and Japheth? I who can wrestle them both to the ground, break them both like dry sticks? Look at my son Canaan. Look at the fist he can make. The future belongs to him.
Boast not of brute force, Ham. Never shall it profit over those other strengths your brothers have. Strength of heart, strength of mind. This day the judgment falls. Brute power is beneath them both.
And then Noah turned to the sons who had bent backwards to cover his shame, and he said to Shem, the dutiful and pious, who was the first of the two to go to his aid,
Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant.
And he said to Japheth, who loved everything of beauty, and knew well the work of his brother, and he said,
God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant.
And it was within Noah's own lifetime that judgment was made on those who found pleasure in the imperfections of their brothers.
For a man may strive for righteousness all the days of his life, but perfection is not in him. Only the Lord knows the future, even as the past.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Abbott Coburn, prominent civic leader and member of the National Planning Committee, Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and member of the Board of Trustees, Congregation Rod Faye Zedek of Chicago. Mr. Coburn.
Once again, we heard this morning the ancient story of the flood and its aftermath,
God destroys all the inhabitants of the corrupt world, allowing only Noah and his family to survive, increase and multiply, and to become the ancestors of all the races of mankind. This story has profound and important lessons to teach us. They are summarized in the statement which we heard, "Man may strive for righteousness, but perfection is not in him. Elements of weakness are inevitable. Only the Lord is set apart above mankind in perfect righteousness." The recognition of the universality of man's weakness should lead us to forgiveness and compassion with our fellows, even when they are justly punished. It should protect us from self-righteousness and haughty pride. Ham refused to associate himself with humanity. He gloried in the suffering of his fellows and taunted the shame of his father. In doing so, he isolated himself from the rest of humankind and betrayed his own weakness. Therein lies the true nature of Noah's curse. Since only God can be set apart above mankind, Ham must be set apart below mankind, less than human, a slave. The slave in this story is a symbol of one who has not reached his full estate as a human being. He is insensitive, callous, and weak. Ham rejoiced in the sins of his fellow men and in the downfall of his father because their imperfections brought them down to his level and thus lessened his own feeling of inferiority. We Americans have been saved from the horror and destruction which have ravaged the world. But we dare not, like Ham, set ourselves apart, thinking that it was due to some superiority on our part that we were spared. Rather, the humble recognition of our good fortune should strengthen our bonds of compassion with mankind throughout the world, in the firm understanding that only God is set apart above man. We must be one with all in suffering and weakness. Long ago, the great sage Hillel summed up this teaching in one great sentence. If I am only for myself, what am I?
Thank you, Mr. Coburn. Our eternal life drama today, and Two Walked Backwards, was written by Marion Voigt. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Arthur Peterson, Maurice Copeland, Ken Nordine, Norman Gottschalk, and Muriel Monsell. The music was written by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Bernard Berquist. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Howard Keegan. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.